That was even loud to me. Well, good morning. I decided to go to Genesis. So we're going back to the beginning of the Bible. Everybody should like Genesis. It's the beginning book. It's something that we really need to understand. Because if we don't understand how it began, then how can we understand what our purpose is in it? You know, God gives us the whole Word of God to study, does He not? Because He wants to give us the background to what He was doing. Well, yeah, that tells us, but that basically, I look at the first sentence, and it's like, you know, whenever you, what was that one where it says it was the best of times, it was the worst of times? What was that book? Tale of Two Cities. One of the great classics when it comes to that. And whenever an author is searching for a book, when they're starting a book or something like this, they're looking for that all-encompassing first line that draws you in, right? And God, boy, he has a wonderful first line here, doesn't he? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, we know in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, what does that tell you? Nothing else existed before this. The beginning is actually what the beginning is. When we say at the beginning of a story, in the beginning of my life, I wasn't here before I come into being. So, this is at the beginning. This is for anything else that's out there. But this doesn't mean God wasn't there, because He always had to be there. He had to be there to create this thing. And I look at all these creations. We have all these people that want to talk about how things just leapt into existence. The Big Bang Theory, right? Bang, and all of a sudden everything just leapt into existence. But you ask them, I said, well, nothing come from nothing? How can nothing come from nothing? There has to be something for something to come from. If not, you'd have nothing. So, in our understanding, we can think of the Big Bang theorists. God said it, and bang, it was done. Okay? And then everybody talks about, I hear all this, you hear about all the theories of the short earth theory. You think that, well, a lot of people talk about these days that we're fixing to talk about. And some people think that the days are literal days. I take that concept. I think the days are literal days. I'm not saying that God could not do all He wanted to in a 24-hour time period. I don't think it took God 24 hours to do everything. I think, bam, He said it was started. It done. There's some people out there that say these days are day eras or something like that. So it's not really a day. It's kind of like an understanding for a time that happens. So you have creationists that believe that God still created over a long period of time. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so the question is, in the beginning, was there even time? This is probably when time began too, what Ruth was talking about. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I don't want to jump off on a rabbit trail, but everybody says that Jesus never proclaimed as God, right? But does not our Bible say that Jesus spoke everything into existence? So that means that if you think logically, you go all the way back to the beginning of the verse, if Jesus spoke everything into existence, is not He God? So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we had this, all of a sudden, I don't know why God did it. He had all this plan in him, and he decided He was going to do this, and He created this heaven and this earth. It says the earth was without form. I've got my Strong's up. I'm going to get off those. I don't like all these numbers. the earth was without forms and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God moved upon the face of the waters. So guess to get an idea of what it is. So now you have a heaven and an earth, right? And this, it's completely dark. Pitch dark. Understand when God's created the heaven, but you know he hasn't created any of the lights in the heavens yet. The heaven, he's got the earth, but it's completely dark, folks. And if you look at it, it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the earth was without form. So basically it was just, I don't know if it was a ball, but it was some kind of, they had not been formed yet. And it was void. Void, when you think of void, what do you think of? Nothing. Total darkness, total. Whenever I think of a void, I think of what you might see if you look into a black hole. Okay? Yeah, everybody says you look into a black hole, it gets so much gravity in there. The reason why it's so black is everything is, it actually takes and light ceases to exist because of the gravity. I don't know, that's astronomers saying that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's a void, something that is nothing there. And when you say void, that means there's nothing in there. So it was form, it was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So evidently there were some waters in this area, right? So that's what we're looking at this particular time. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Understand, God didn't say, didn't create the sun at this particular time. God said, let there be light, and light instantly formed. The light is not coming from the fiery orb that God placed in the heavens. The light is coming from God at this particular time. And we hear it all the times that the Lord Jesus is what? He's the light of the world. You see how they use the word plays here. So it says that at this particular time, this was completely darkness, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke the light into existence. Now, at this particular time, there was nobody there to see what was going on, did it? Who was there at this particular time? God. God was the only one there to see this. So it's awful funny that man wants to go back and tell us how God created everything when he wasn't even there. Oh, the fallacy of our understanding. And God, yes, sir, somebody say something? The pride that man has, yes, we think that we can understand the universe. Give us enough time and we'll figure it all out, right? God saw the light, and the light was good. He divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So God took this light and he made a time frame at that time. It's like he made time at this particular time. He made the night and the day. He made something to separate. It was just like, okay, you know, whenever we're not talking about being at the top of the world where you have a lot of long time of day and a long time of night. God makes a division right here. It's like he's creating the time, right? When we look at time, what do we look at? Days, right? So I count my life in days, or I count my life in years, which is a series of days, right? So at the end of time, it looks like God is developing this time frame that we have. But we haven't got to that one yet. We'll get to that in a minute. Now God has created the night, the idea that there's a day. And the idea of a day is you have a light time and a dark time, right? So God saw the light, and the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day and the darkness night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Okay? So now, the first day is incomplete. And I think this is a 24-hour day. That's what I believe. I think that's what the Bible says. Now, you can go ahead and see whatever you want to when you jump off into it. You can take and you can rationalize however else you want to, but I'm going to take the Word of God for what it says. Because I'm not putting God in a box and saying he couldn't do this in seconds, let alone a day. God, now we're going into 6. It says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, what would this firmament be? Huh? No, it's not land. Not land. It's the heaven. It's a heaven area. The word for it is brachia. I hope I didn't mess that one up. But basically, it's properly an expanse. That is the firmament, or apparently the visible arch of the sky. So you see that there was waters on the land, right? The land was water. God took and divided the waters from the waters. It's like he took and he separated where the waters was, and he put an expanse in the middle that he was going to work with. And you have waters up here, and you have waters down here. And this area and thing is the firmament. Okay? Understand that what we see on earth today is not what it was when God made it. The earth is broken. The earth is broken, and it started to be broke all the way back in Adam's time. That's the reason why God says, even in Romans, it says, even the earth groans in anticipation. So there's a firmament. He divided the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters from the waters, and were under the waters which were under the firmament, and the waters which are above the firmament, okay? And it was so. And God called this firmament heaven. That's the reason why we know it's not land, right? So the firmament he called heaven, in other words, the area up above you. And we're not talking about the third heaven where God lives. This is heaven where it's like the sky above us, okay? And the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning, it was the second day. So on the second day, he took these waters, he took and divided them, he put some waters above, he put some waters below, and he called this area up here that he took heaven. And then the second day was over with. Now we go to the third day, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. Now we have dry land appearing. Now we have the earth in its little ball starting to form the little continents and the little dry areas of patches that were done. And the lakes were formed, and the streams were formed. And all this stuff that God decided that he was going to do, he set the waters separated from the land. Okay, so now we have the land being formed, okay? And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters, and he called seas, and God saw that it was all good. It's amazing. When God says it's good, that don't mean it's just good, right? That just means it's great. Every time I say out here, when God saw it, I was going to think of Freddie up here. Is that good? Is that good? Yeah, it's good. God said it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb and herb yielding seed, and the young and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And God brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, and the seed was in itself and its kind, and God saw that it was good. Okay, and then the evening, morning, the third day. So now the third day, God took and he separated the land from the waters, right? And he decided to fill the land with all manners of herbs and trees, everything. So basically, he's making the foliage up right now. And it's amazing how God just speaks this stuff in existence, and it just automatically appears. And why do we put God in a box whenever we understand what he's doing here? He has already made time. He has separated what we couldn't even understand. He's made vegetation. He's made dry land come out of waters. He's made vegetation come. And he's just starting. How many times do they think that, how many years have they talked about us going to Mars and taking and terraforming it into something that we could live on? I've been hearing about this since I was a kid. Now, I'm only 58 years old, so I'm really a youngster to some of y'all. And some of y'all could probably have heard some of this stuff since you were kids. How the human beings are going to be able to do this. We can look back at this and God did it. Huh? Well, he's preparing a place for people. He's preparing what he decided he wanted to make. And understand that he did not take counsel with Terry in any of this. He counsels with himself. I understand. I life as we understood it, yeah, possibly. Look at plants. There's some people that think that plants are good. I don't know, but the tomatoes eat good. Anyway, I'm not going down that rabbit hole. I'm not going to do it. Evening and morning. So on the third day, he created all the herbs and the grass and everything. And there's a plan to this, because guess what we're going to be eating? The herbs and the grass and the plants. That's what we're supposed to be. At that particular time, that's what we're supposed to be. Okay, so, evening, morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. Guess what? Now he's putting stars up there. All the lights of the heavens. Everybody says, you know, they can tell when they look back into people think that the Big Bang Theory, right? And they take and they look back and they look through their telescopes. And they say that when they put the Hubble telescope up there, they could see the past. Because the astronomers think that there's a Big Bang, so everything banged, everything went into existence. All of a sudden, the Earth was formed. And they figure if they look far enough out, they'll see worlds being created because they think the universe is still expanding. So, I think that God, whenever he made the universe, he made it already the way it was. I don't put God in a box. I don't think it's expanded. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. And in fact, if you look, there you don't really see anything new created in the stars. They can't show you new planets or new galaxies being created, but they can definitely show them falling apart. So you don't see creation right now in the universe. You see decay. Why is the universe decaying? Well, the Bible tells us it's decaying because we broke it. So, he created, and he said, God, in heaven, divide the day from the night. Let them show sign season. Okay, so God said, that there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. So basically, he's given us the sun and the moon, right? And and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And it's amazing how whenever God put the moon in, you know, the earth sets on this little tilt, right? And the moon sets a particular distance from the earth. And the moon's a specific size. If the moon was any closer, if the moon was any farther away, the earth, scientists say the earth would be unlivable. If it was any smaller, any bigger, the earth would not be. If the earth wasn't on its little axis, it would not exist. Understand, if you really believe in evolution, I want you to take a cake. All you ladies know how to make a cake, right? I want you to put it in a Ziploc bag. I want you to shake that thing up, and I want to see how long it takes to make me a cake. Because that's what people think happened. All these particulars had to be in the right, perfect thing. Even if you try to make a cake, even if you do everything perfect, how many times did your cake fail or something, or it didn't come out right? I haven't baked many a cake, but I've baked a bunch of cornbread, and sometimes my cornbread don't come out looking so good. So, at this particular time, he said, let the lights be in the heaven to divide the days from the nights, and to be them for signs and seasons, for the days and the years. And he said, let the lights of the firmament of heaven give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. A greater light for the rule of the day. We call that what? The sun. And a lesser. And the lesser light to rule the night. What do we call that? Moon. And said, and that particular time, he also made the stars. So all of them. Bright little twinkling lights you see out in the heavens. God made them all at that particular time. Wow. So at that particular time, and this is day four. So he made the stars also, and he set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning, the fourth day. The fourth day, he made everything. When you look up into the heavens, day, and you see that big orange ball, that don't look at it for too much because it'll blind you. You have to get like welding glasses and look at it. Or you look up at night and you see that wonderful, wonderful bunch of stars. That's amazing to us. That to this day, such an inhospitable environment that we think that we can find extinct. We don't even know everything about the earth. You know, we know more about space than we do about the oceans. But in our pride or in our thirst for knowledge, thinking we're it and all that, we're in the conquer space already. God has already done it. So, permanent, stars, the evening and the morning, and it was the fifth day. So we did this on the fifth day, right? Fourth day. Okay. And evening and morning, fourth day. I'm not 19. I'm sorry. Keep it straight, guys. I know. It's tough, isn't it? Okay. 120. And God said that the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Again, we talk about the firmament of heaven, okay? That means it's the open area around the earth, right? It's the sky that we can see. It's not where the stars are. In fact, Paul says, in his writing, says he was called into the third heaven. When it says, when you hear the third heaven, That's heaven where God lives. That's what the idea of that. But I don't want to go there, so I just want to give you a little bit. Think about it. It said, and God let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the wells and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So at this particular time, God made the fish live in the water, all the little animals that live in the water, right? Hey, the birds that fly through the air at this particular time. And at this particular, so he made all these animals up. And then he said to them, says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. So at this particular time, it's like God said, go out and do what animals do and fill up all this expanse that I have made. They have their place. Everything has a place. I don't know why. And you know the mosquitoes in Texas are bigger than the rest of the mosquitoes around. Everything's bigger in Texas. Anyway, yeah, God made all these things, you know, but these are the things that fly and these are the things that liveth. And it says the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And you see, a lot of that goes into Jewish idealism, because when did they think the day begun? Why did they have to get Jesus off of the cross and into the tomb? The Sabbath was coming, so they had to get him into that tomb before that day ended, or else they would have been ceremonially unclean, able to their what they had to do. Huh? Passover. They couldn't do the Passover meal because there'd be ceremonially unclean because they touched the dead body the same day. And also, if you look, Jesus was not in the tomb for 72 hours, but he was in the tomb for 3 days, because when did the time start? It started that evening. Okay? So he was in the tomb for 3 days. You got to look at that. And that's a good point that you pulled up. For Jewish understanding, the day starts in the evening, not the morning time. We think of the day when we think the day starts. 4 a.m. in the morning when I get up to go work out. Some people's days don't start at 10. If you're lucky. So yeah, good call on that one. Thank you. So we're in the fifth day now. We just finished the fifth day, right? If I'm skipping over things too quick, please call it out, guys. Says in 124, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind. That's the reason why when you said that the plants were living a while ago, God actually calls these living. I think the plants living is kind of an ideal that we have. Not dead, but they're not. Fire grows and fire dies. Is it living? I just had to throw that out there for the funsies. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that out for funsies, darling. Okay. So, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and the creeping thing. I think that's where mosquitoes may come in. I think mosquitoes are more creeping, buggy things to me. They may not creep, they fly, so maybe they, I don't know. I don't think they're the fowl of the air, though. They're definitely fowl sometimes, but they're not the fowl of the air. So. Anyway, So at this particular time, that the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind, and cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after its kind, and it was so. Now, this, we keep hearing this word, after its kind. What does that mean? Kind of like the genealogical line of the individual. A cow can't be a horse. Dog can't be a cat. Okay? So when it's talking about kinds, it's talking about the, I want to say, the genealogical aspect of what the person, what they are. So the family that something would be in. So when you look at kinds, you know, that's the reason why God speaks against bestiality. Because you're not supposed to go. Okay? So, anyway, but that's the thing that look off into. God is already stipulating after each specific thing. And it's something that we need to look off into. We need to realize. Okay, so. After its kind, the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing upon the earth after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, now here's something, he kind of differentiates, okay? He made the beast of the earth after its kind, the cattle after that kind, and the creeping thing after its kind, right? And God said all that was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon earth. The idea of man had just come into it. But God said, let us make man in our image. So God said, let us make man in our image. Why did he say, what did he not say? What did he not say there? He didn't say, let me make man in my image, did he? He said, let us make man in our image. Talking to you. The heavenly host? Who are the heavenly hosts? I don't know. I don't think he's doing that. Wait a second. He's saying, no. He can't be talking about this. He says, let us make man in our image. Are we in the image of the heavenly host? So are we made in the image of the heavenly host? Are we made in the image of angels? They are a different kind. So who is God talking to here? He's talking to the Godhead, the triune God. This is the first time it's introduced, and we skip over it so easily. God says, let us make man in our image. And who is the expressed image of God that comes to earth some 2,000 years ago? Christ. He is the visible image of God, but God was even back this. Christ was there. It says that Christ was the Word, right? I want to jump over here. How would anybody know I was going to John? Let's go to John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. let me say, I'll go on down there. I'll just keep going. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Trying to get down to that. Well, I'll just keep going. Said, and the name came, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear the witness of the light, and that the light the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, he was not in the world. Oh, he was in the world, and he was made by him. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, and they to them he gave the power to become the Son of God, sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as if the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness to him and cried, saying, this is he whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, and for he was before me. And the fullness of all we have received, and grace for grace, and his fullness is all we receive, and grace for grace, for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Who was with God at the beginning? The Word. Who is the Word? So now we jump all the way back to Genesis. We jump all the way back to Genesis, and I asked you a question. When God said, let us make man in our image, who was he talking to? The Trinity. This is the first sign of the Trinity. This is not the angels in heaven that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Because if it was, we wouldn't be made in their image. But it's so easy if we don't look at the individual words to jump over something like that. There's going to be a time right up and later on. I don't want to get to it, but I do believe that when Eve was being tempted by the by Satan, I think Adam was standing there watching it. And we'll get to that later on. We'll talk about that when it gets to there. Y'all can either agree or disagree. Y'all going to do your own studies if you don't agree. I'm not saying I'm 100% right. I'm just saying this is what I see through this. But I see the first sign of the Trinity. All the way back in Genesis, ladies and gentlemen. So he says, let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over the earth, and over all, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man has dominion over everything on the earth. God gave us dominion over the earth. That was our job. Now, when dominion comes, something else called responsibility, right? We have dominion over the earth. That's what God gave us. So God created a man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So at this particular time, he created man and woman, and he said, go out and fill this earth full of human beings, and y'all have dominion over all the earth and all the fish. Now, understand, that doesn't mean we go around eating everything. because we'll get to that in a minute. And God said, behold, I have given every herb and bearing seed which was on the face of the earth, every tree which is fruit of the tree of the yielding seed to you for seed, for that you shall have for meat. So in other words, this is what you're going to eat. Now we go back to saying, is trees living? Well, I've just thought of something that might think. Christ said that the life is in the blood. That's what the Bible says, the life is in the blood. And we know that nothing died before Cain and Abel happened, because there was no death before that time. That's the reason why we didn't eat fish or things. There was no killing that happened. We were stuff like that. So I go back to your thing about plants living. They may be living, but I don't think it's the same life that we have as far as that. I don't know. Yes, sir. Go ahead. My understanding is we were made in the image of God. The only image of God that we have that I can even come fathom to is Christ. That's the only image. So now, we say that we were made in the image of God. I think that goes to the body and soul and spirit. There's responsibilities that go to. Understand that a dog has life, right? And a Labrador retriever is a great animal. I don't know about. He's never mad at you. If you leave out the front door and go to get the mail, when he comes back, he wants to love you. But he's programmed to do that. I think that where our free will comes in too. We have a choice. God gave us a choice. That's the reason why. Understand that if God did not give us the free will, and I think that has to all go into what the image of God is. Okay, because animals don't have a choice of what they're going to do, do they? I think it goes into the spiritual realm more than the physical realm. I don't think. Now, I think that when Christ came on earth, he came as a human being. Now, when we talk about the heavenly body, what we're going to be whenever we go to be with Christ, we are body, soul, and spirit. You're talking about a physical shape? You know, I've always thought about that, and the question is, Mike's question is that when it says that we're the expressed image of God, are we talking about a physical image, i.e. that we're in when God says that he has a right and a left hand, does God have a physicality that kind of, we mimic that kind of thing, do we see ourselves in that physical image? And, Mike, I don't know. It says he walked, and so can Job, God has a physicality, and if God has a physicality, would it be like us? I think if we were made in the image of him, I think yes, I think you would have to say it would be. If we're in the image of God, if this is what we can see, I think that would be. But understand that we are just an image. An image would be just a reflection or something that not, we are not God, we're in the image of God, so we're not everything God should be. Yes, sir. And later on, when it says that we are, and this is something I've always had a hard time dealing with in myself, that it says that we are now in the family of God, we are children of God, and Christ is our brother. And I would not, I just can't fathom that. Understand what I'm saying? I understand that, but knowing myself as I do, it's hard for me to call myself a brother. You know, as flawed as I am, positionally, that's what we are. Yeah. Spiritually and positionally, God has put us there. Spiritually. Yes, Terry. But not until the fall. Now, and keep in mind, you just brought up an interesting thing. You think that you possess the same body that Adam and Eve have? But do you think that we said that everything decays, right? Has humanity decayed since the time of Adam and Eve? And I look at the time frame that this was built, that God was doing this, and we see dinosaur bones. God create dinosaurs? But understand that we don't understand how much time went on during this particular time between the fall and everything, right? There's some time to go on. How long between creation and the fall? How long was that? I understand, but now, so now God finishes creation, and then you have the fall of man, okay? What was the time frame from the time which God placed Adam and Eve, he finished his creation, he placed Adam and Eve inside the garden, and they were tending the garden. What was the time frame between that and the fall? Let me ask you a question. They say, and this is an interesting thing. I won't go back to dinosaurs. Everybody says a dinosaur. Understand that God created all these animals, right? Amphibians never quit growing, do they? Alligators, as long as they continue to live, they're going to grow. They understand the environment that God created at this time. There was no rain going on. Basically, it said the mist, and we'll tell you later, the mist folds up, and that's what gave life to the plants. Mist. There was no rain that came down. So whenever God was talking about there's going to be a flood, everybody was laughing and knowing, like, what are you talking about? It's never happened. There's waters above, there's waters below, and there's no rain, the mist comes up. So basically, you have this beautiful swampy environment where you have all this lush greenery all the time. And what are animals going to do? got dinosaur swords, right? Yeah. They were living. Guess what? Dinosaurs didn't eat man, did they? They ate plants. Everything ate plants. That's what it says. Yes, sir. There is, well, I would say, I don't think there is, but there is a thing where it says replenish the earth in certain areas. So I understand that there's a thing that says replenish. So there's some arguments out there that says that this was something before. But God said there was no death for this creation before the fall, right? And if there had been something on earth before, would there have been death? If there was, wait a second, if you had to replenish something, what happened to all the stuff that you had that wasn't there, that was there originally? Now, I'm answering Mike's question, because Mike said, because it said, what was that, replenish? Next one. Verse says, the beasts of this kind and cattle of their time could breathe through a kind of, what verse was that, Mike? It said, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's what King James says. Yeah. I'm gonna go to Strong's and see what it says. 28. They're not really giving me anything in Strong's support of that. But under King James, it says replenish the earth. Now, I think that's what Mike's running into right here. And to replenish something, would there not already have been something there that had to die out to be able to replenish? If you read it word, yes, ma'am. Now, I will give you exactly what the word says for according to Strong's, okay? This is, and the word is malay or malal. Malay, malal. It says a primitive root, feel or intransitively be full of in a wide application, literally or figuratively. Accomplish, confirm, plus consecrate, be at an end, be expired, be fenced, fill, fulfill, fully, flow, fullness, furnish, gather, presume, it could be replenish, it could be satisfy, it could be set, space, take a handful or to have plus have holy, so it's kind of got a variety of ideas here. I do not think if they're replenishing the earth, because first off, to replenish something you'd have to have death. Something would have had to die, and the word is complete saying that there was no death before the fall. So I don't think this is a refilling. I think this is a filling of the earth, Mike, to your answer. I would think so. I would think it would be, because at this particular time, you know, whenever there is blood in these animals, and God says that the life is in the blood, one thing. So I would think, yes, it would be. And see that when Adam and Eve does sin, like they said it was previously, God had to kill an animal to make clothes for them to cover them. That was the first sacrifice that went over to cover the sin of that. And there had to be a death or an animal for that to happen. So if an animal death did not have any worth, say only human deaths have worth with God, then how can an animal death, even up until the time of Christ coming on scene and dying for us, all the animal deaths that covered up all that sin for all of that the law required, how could that even work toward that? So I think the death itself has got to be even an animal death. Yes. And I tend to be the young earth. I think God made the earth to look old. That's what I think. Now, again, these are things that we can discuss, but we should never separate over. You know, these are things that we need to work on within our own. Yeah. And I wish I had a better answer for you, Mike, but I don't. Like I said, this is something that I've looked off into, but I don't fully understand either. And like I said, it's something that we should continue to look off into, because we want to know fully what God has us to know. You know, that there's nothing, understand that anything written in this scripture is open thing for us to understand. Yes, sir. No, and as I said, that's the reason why God gives us the ability to think different ways about different. Okay, and like I said, I don't have a lot more time here. Let me get the last three verses done. Mike, I would really love to talk about this some more, but I don't really have much information for you on that. I tend to go toward the young earth theory, but I've heard some really good people explain the same theory you're talking about, and like you said, your feet are firmly planted in the air on this, because we really, how do you take a stand one way or another? How do you take a stand one way or another? So if you can't take a stand in one way or another, sometimes you have to say, you know what, maybe God doesn't want me. Okay, he said, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb seed on the face of the earth, and every tree from which the fruit of the tree yielding tree, fruit of a tree yielding seed, and you shall, and it shall be for, and it shall be for meat. When it says meat here, that doesn't mean it's going to be bacon or anything like that. They're not taking and they're not making these incredible Whopper patties for you to eat. Okay, this is actually food. Meat is food. Meat is nourishment. Meat is what gives the body strength. Okay, and it says And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Again, it says in here, going back to what you said, John, it says, and every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. Does plants have life? Not in the idea right there, okay? Where there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. So there might be a difference on living on the plants. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good, the evening, the morning, the sixth day. At the sixth day, God had finished his creation of the earth that we now live in. Now, it's not the same earth. Like I said, we'll talk about that a little later on when we talk about the fall and all that other stuff. But this is not the same earth. This is not what God wanted it to be. This is what we made of it. So this is where I'm going to stop today. I'm past time, and like I said, I wish that I could have gave you better information, Mike, and I just couldn't go farther with that. I just don't know. And I grasp the same thing, you know. Anybody got anything else they want to say before we close? Ray, would you close this morning, sir?